From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
I'm Andrew Richards.
I'm Amanda Silver.
Welcome to Defrag Tools. All right, Amanda, you were here last week. What are we going to continue with this week?
I'm wearing the same shirt.
I know.
last week I showed you a program, the Encyclopedia application, that was connecting to Wikipedia on the back end to basically populate some content for a Windows web application. One of the things that, you know, we did last week is we kind of took some of the topic contents and then we just filled that into a grid view application and then showed you that topic. Mm-hmm. The problem was, of course, that we didn't fix some of the tiling images. So if we go back to the Encyclopedia app and we kind of we want to bring that up, you can kind of see one of the problems that we have here. So I can actually see all of the topics that I might be interested in, but of course they all look the same to me, so this is not a very compelling app.
Oh, it looks
right?
Super awesome.
Yeah. Well, so obviously we want this to be populated by the images from the content from Wikipedia. So if we were to look at something like the Einstein topic, it'd be really great if the image for the Einstein topic was populated by, I don't know, at least one of these images that are in the Einstein topic. So how do we do that? Well, one of the things that we did is we basically wrote a native application to kind of a native portion of the application, a native component that actually grovels through all of the images that are created and then just picks a best match for kind of what would show up in a tile image size. Mm-hmm. So I did that as a way to kind of show how we do mixed mode debugging between JavaScript and native code. This is not something that everybody is going to do. Not a lot of people actually need to debug into native code, but for those who do, I'm going to show you how.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So the first thing I'm going to do is we have to go find the place where we actually go search for the images, right? So if we jump back to Visual Studio, and this is the application that we were kind of interacting with before. And now what we have to do is go into the topic.js. And this topic.js is basically the file that encodes kind of how we populate a topic. If I click on a topic, kind of what should show up in that particular page. And one of the things that I obviously need to do is look for the image. So if I search for find image, which is the name of my function that actually finds the image. We can see that this basically calls this processor component dot image processor, and that's my native component. Mm-hmm. That actually just goes through. So what I've done before here is I've actually created a collection of these images by basically kind of groveling through all of the HTML that comes back from the Wikipedia site, and I've passed that into this component.image processor that will then look at all of the images and kind of select what's the best match to mm-hmm. to populate in the tile.
So is this an asynchronous or a synchronous operation, this type of area?
This one I did synchronously, but I could have written it asynchronously. It's just I happened to write it synchronously.
Yeah. And the pictures that you get are going to be a different aspect ratio from your tile. How do you handle that?
Yeah. Basically, what we do is we just kind of pick the best match and just crop it. I mean, mm-hmm. this is pretty simple.
So in general, you're trying looking for a landscape-ish shape, and you're trying to avoid the portrait.
Yeah, something that kind of fits that tile
ratios.
Image. Yeah, it's actually a pretty it's amazing how good it is. But this is a little bit demo-ish, right?
Yeah.
So we could certainly write a much more sophisticated image processor to do something that would be
look for a face.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the reasons why it's somewhat realistic to have this as a native component.
Yeah.
Obviously, if all we're doing is searching for the image size, that's something that I could be writing in JavaScript as well. Mm. But if I'm doing something like image recognition and I'm looking for face recognition or something else like that, I might want to use a native component to be able to get the level of performance that I'd want to get on the image processing itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if we just put a breakpoint here, I'm going to just hit F5 again. So we see that we're actually breaking at this image. And if I hit F11 a couple times to try to step into, we'll actually see that I don't step into it at all, right? There's no, like, unlike in C# versus native code, where there really is .NET native interop in Visual Studio debugging, there is not yet JavaScript native debugging intrinsically in Visual Studio. But it's possible.
Yes.
And the way that you do it is you actually need to bring up two different Visual Studio instances. So I'm just going to stop debugging.
You really are going hardcore here, aren't you?
Well, you know, this is the diagnostics tools show. So yeah. I thought you guys would want to see some of the low-level stuff. So I have this breakpoint in my program right now. It's running. I set a new breakpoint, but I'm going to kind of drop this breakpoint real quick. And then what I'm going to do is open up a second instance of Visual Studio that also is populated with the Encyclopedia project. And I'm going to kind of change some of the settings for that. So what I'm going to do is basically go in here and open the second instance. And then what I'm going to do is go into the debug window, and go to the Encyclopedia properties. And you'll see that by default, the script, the debugger type basically indicates like which kind of debugging application it needs to do. Because for any script application, there's two components. There has to be a native component that is also the host for the script component. And there has to be some indication to Visual Studio as to which part of the process it's actually supposed to attach to. So by default, all JavaScript projects, when you open them in Visual Studio, are going to be debugging the script portion only. But we can change that. I can come back in here, and I can actually change this to I can even do mixed, managed and native. Of course, there's no managed portion of, no .NET portion of the application in this context. But this will actually attach to the native component of portion of the component. So I'm just going to press OK. And then what I'm going to do is go back in here, and I'm going to, where is attached to process? And I'm going to attach to the WWA host. Now, WWA host is that native portion of the application that hosts the Encyclopedia app portion of the Windows web application.
So it's like an XE loading a DLL if you want to think it in old ways.
Or actually, if we compare it to the browser, Internet Explorer has a bunch of native components that are basically the Internet Explorer rendering engine and all of that kind of stuff. And when you actually load something like, you know, JavaScript files and HTML and CSS, then what's happening in that case is it's actually just loading all of that script context essentially in the context of the rendering engine, which is native.
Yeah.
Right? So in this case, it's almost like WWA host is similar to iExplorer.
So when the JavaScript application is compiled, is it deployed just with script, or is it got in some intermediary language type?
That's a good question. It's funny you should ask. I could answer that the very simple way, and I could answer that the kind of the real way. So what happens is when you have a Windows web application, there are lots of files that are made up with that. There's the JavaScript files, CSS files, HTML files. But there's also the manifest, the app manifest, which gets encoded into the APEX. And so the APEX itself is really just a zip directory of all of your contents for your application. But it basically encodes it. It basically kind of zips it up and just deploys it as a package. So in that way, it really is just loading, like loading script. There is one thing that we do that's kind of funny and secret that is more for performance optimizations for subsequent loads, which we call bytecode caching. So basically what happens is, rather than when you load a JavaScript file, you know, normal parsing happens, the JavaScript engine basically interprets kind of it interprets, and then actually, because we have a JIT compiler in the background, it starts to compile all of the JavaScript content that's contained in there. And what happens with this bytecode caching, only in the context of Windows web applications, is that we will actually get to the point of where we're past parsing, and we're past the point where we've generated ASTs, which is compiler speak for abstract syntax trees, which is basically that intermediate representation in memory that represents the program, right? And so what we do is we then call that, we call it bytecode, but it's basically, it's not quite at the point that we're ready to generate. We never really generate an intermediate language like IL because the JavaScript engine is both the C# compiler and the .NET engine, right? So we never actually persist that format to disk, with the exception of this bytecode caching context. And so what happens in Windows web applications is that we will actually take that intermediate representation that only the core JavaScript engine understands, and we will persist that so that subsequent loads are much, much faster and we don't have to go through parse. That's something that, honestly, no developer will ever need to see. Yeah, hopefully, if we did our jobs right and there's no bugs in there.
But if you're doing performance profiling, it's something you have to slightly be aware of that we're...
Yeah, so one of the things that you would probably see when you did performance profiling is that your first load of a Windows web application will be slower than subsequent loads of that same Windows web application. Because after that point, we've actually persisted the bytecode.
I'm assuming the bytecode is probably more efficient than the files on disk, so you're probably doing even less disk reads. You're probably reading less data off the disk as well.
Yep.
It's not only CPU power you're saving, but you're also saving disk access as well.
Yeah, not quite as much as you might expect because it's pretty efficient. JavaScript can be compressed and we all that kind of stuff. So that's not the main reason why we did it, but probably a little bit.
You can
see that, yeah.
Cool.
So if I attach here to this WBA host process.
It's not a defrag show unless my machine takes off.
Yeah.
Then, so in this encyclopedia app, we go to the debug properties and we make sure that the debugger type is mixed, managed, and native. And then what I'm going to do is go into the C++ portion of the solution, and I'm going to go into the image processor CPP, that's right here. And if I zoom in on the code a little bit, what I'm going to do here is just basically set a breakpoint in the C# portion, in the C++ portion of it, and hit F5 again. And we'll actually see that, the width and height that we're checking for is 20 and 20. That's pretty small, so we're looking for a very, very small image in this case. Mm-hmm. That's obviously something that we can change. So I'm just going to change this to 100 by 100. And hit F5. And let's start that one more time, just to see if that actually works. So now we're actually checking for 100 by 100. Let's remove the breakpoint. Now we're actually getting the images that we had wanted to get.
So what was the loop doing? What was it? Why was it causing a very... It was just looking for the smallest one?
Yeah, it was kind of looking for something that was 20 by 20 just to fit the tile format. Yeah. In this case, now we're looking for something that is more appropriate for the tile size.
Which is why it was so blocky. We found something that had very few pixels, and each pixel was being...
Exactly.
Was blown
expanded.
Up.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I like the animated GIF, too.
That's cool. Yeah. So the one last thing I wanted to show you guys is just memory profiling a little bit. Because one of the things that is different about Windows web applications versus normal web applications is Windows web applications are more like a single page application in some senses. In your typical web application or website, there's an event that happens that basically clears all of your memory that might be in your GC. Mm-hmm. That event is page navigation, right? If I'm surfing the web and I'm going from, New York Times front page to a topic entry on or an article, basically it blows out your previous JavaScript context, which completely empties your garbage collector, or at least gives us the opportunity to do that, and it you know, reloads a brand new set of memory and all of those kinds of objects. In a Windows web application, that's not the case. The way that we do that is we generally just have one JavaScript context that's running the entire time, and we load fragments. So for example, when I click on an article, these are all basically fragments. And if I go back, we actually, like, all of this is part of the same JavaScript context. The GC is never really cleared. Mm-hmm. Like, we might do some GC based on references that have been removed and things like that, but there's not really...
It's just locals and stuff, really, not really the bigger context.
Yeah, the larger context isn't really blown away, and so one of the things that can happen is, over time, you can start to consume more and more and more and more memory.
So if you go from page to page to page... And,
right, exactly. Yeah. So one of the things that actually came out, it wasn't even in the first version of Visual Studio 2012. This is something that only shipped in the update of Visual Studio, I think, in January of this year. We added memory profiling for JavaScript, which is pretty cool. Have you guys seen that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah? Okay.
And well, I think update 2 came out yesterday when we're taping this.
Right. Yeah. And there's actually a new thing in there, which is the timeline view for CPU, which is also awesome. Not going to show that today, but definitely something to check out, and I'd be happy to show it again another time. So let's just close the native portion of this, and let's go back to just the JavaScript portion of the Visual Studio instance. Now, one of the things that you can see in here is we have this performance JavaScript memory analysis.
Sweet.
Which this menu context didn't exist before. Let me just make sure that we don't have the instance running. Great. So now what I'm going to do is just go into this JavaScript memory analysis, and I'm going to launch the startup project. And what this does is, yes, I do want the ETW collector to run. I'm sure you guys have talked about ETW a lot on this show.
In fact, we're about to do the series on that, a 10-week deep dive.
Awesome.
This next episode next week.
Awesome. Well, so one of the things that we did in the Windows 8 version of the Chakra engine is we basically plugged Chakra into the ETW events. So there's now a vast collection of ETW events that actually will show up in the ETW if you look at the ETW profilers, that kind of stuff. And one of the other things that we added there, obviously, is garbage collection events. And that's one of the things that you can kind of see in this tool.
Awesome.
So this is all basically populated based on ETW events, but it doesn't look like the ETW events, ETW, you know, profiling tools that you usually use,
because
this is really focused on JavaScript.
Yeah, it's a different consumer of the events rather than some graphical consumer. Yeah,
right.
We actually talked about the same thing with Mayoni with all the CLR things, and the CLR doesn't actually emit the ETW, so it looks like JavaScript is a bit of a head.
Yeah.
In that way.
Yeah, that's different cool. Different approach to it, I suppose. So what we're doing here is we're just kind of, you know, we just loaded the application. I can then kind of tab back to Visual Studio, and we can actually see the memory consumption that's being used here. And one of the things that I can do is I can actually just take a heap snapshot based on the running instance of the application. So that actually just gets a screenshot just to show me, like, you know, what's happening there. But it also corresponds to a heap snapshot. Mm-hmm. And so for that point in the program history, it will actually just take, like, the root of what's in the GC, and it will basically dump the heap. And then we will be able to traverse that in a minute.
This reminds me a lot of VMMap. VMMap can do the same thing, but it does it for native heaps.
Yeah.
So roughly the same idea.
Yeah.
Repeated here for JavaScript.
For JavaScript,
really
exactly.
Awesome.
So so now what I want to do is I want to kind of load a topic, and then I want to, you know, just kind of scroll just to make sure that I'm loading a lot of objects in here, and then go back.
So is the whole page loaded on demand, or is it only what's visible on the screen that they load?
It depends how you wrote your application. I mean, so that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
You want to be able to optimize it so that you have a limited amount of memory consumption as possible. So one of the things that you can see here is that, you know, obviously when I went to the Einstein topic and then I scrolled, like, a lot more memory was loaded there. And then you'd kind of expect, like, that might be expected given that that for the topic, there's actually a lot of content to show. But what you kind of expect is if I went back to the original
homepage,
that we should go back to the same memory consumption.
Yeah.
So if we go back to here, and we go back to the homepage, and then we go back here, and we take another heap snapshot, it's not quite at the same level. If you actually look, it's a little bit different.
It's like 10, 20, 30% more still.
Yeah, exactly. So, so one of the things that we can do is we can actually start to kind of zoom in on some of this stuff. So we can look at all of the objects that this is basically generating a comparison view. These are all of the objects that kind of got deleted from it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go back to the diagnostics hub, in this case, we can actually look at all of the objects that were
added.
That were added.
So you can you choose two snapshots and do a differential?
Yes, exactly. That's the point. Is basically awesome. You get two heap snapshots, and then that once you click in on it, it does the comparison. It kind of depends on what you click on in this diagnostics hub. All of this is clickable, so I can just look at what the heap looks like at this snapshot, mm-hmm. or I could just look at the differential between this snapshot and that snapshot.
If I want to compare this one and this one, can I do that? So I know that what this differential is in here compared to this.
Yeah,
one?
I think so. You might have to compare it to the snapshot number one. Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly. Yeah. So if we come in here, you know, one of the things that we can do is just look at the objects. And then the views, there's lots of different views that are kind of useful. One of the ones that's my favorite is this roots, because this actually shows you kind of what is holding on to all of these different objects in your JavaScript heap. Mm-hmm. And so normally, the way that it works in the browser context is that there's really just is the global context. Because WinRT has lots of event handlers, and you might have JavaScript event handlers that respond to native events in the Windows Web application host, you could have both stuff that's in the global as well as stuff that are basically delegates that are responding to events from WinRT.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I'm going to just look at global. And then if we look at topic cache, we can actually see that this is kind of big. And so why is it big? If we start to kind of look down at some of the content, HTML content.
So this is a object that's kind of holding some history or something, or?
Yeah, the idea is that basically all I wanted to do is cache the topics that I looked at so that I didn't need to kind of hit Wikipedia again to be able to get the you know, responsive app experience that my users would mm-hmm. expect. But what you'll see here is that it's basically holding on to all of the HTML content, including like lots of, you know, images and things like that. That's probably not that necessary for me to be able to populate that topic cache.
Yep.
So let's just go back and kind of fix that. So if we go back into the topic.js file, and if we go into, if we look for equals topic.
Maybe put a space on it.
Oh, yes, good call. There we go. If we scroll down, then we can see that, you know, what I'm doing here is I'm actually just storing the entire topic, which is probably not necessary. So rather than doing that, I'm just going to do topic cache. Same thing, this title, group title. And then I'm going to set it equal to a new object that's kind of an anonymous object that's populated by the contents that I actually do need to kind of carry. So I'll have the topic.group, the title.
So this group syntax is kind of making a structure on the fly?
Yeah, it's very similar to to an object literal. It basically is an object literal,
mm-hmm.
But JavaScript style. And so it kind of matches the way that you might think about JSON or the way that you might think about object literals in C# that are anonymous objects.
Mm-hmm.
And then image source, because that's the other thing that I need here. In this case, I'm just going to say that it's null by default because I don't need to actually populate it. And so if there's anything that is calling it, we just won't show an image. But that will allow us to load the topic content very quickly. So I'll just save that. And then I will hit F5 again. Or actually, I don't want to hit F5, sorry. Let me close that. Okay. Go back. I will just save this. And then what I'll do is I'll go back into the debug. And want to stop debugging. Great. And then I will go to the JavaScript memory analysis and launch the startup project again.
Does this JavaScript memory analysis engine let you attach if you happen to be halfway through something?
Yeah, it does, actually. That's a pretty cool thing. And it also works against both Windows Web applications as well as if you attach to IE. So that's pretty cool. So now I can go back in here and I can take a heap snapshot. And then I can go and look at the objects. And I can go into the roots view again. And I can go into the global. And I can go, you know, if I wanted to look at the topic cache. And if we see the size of each individual content for the topic cache is much smaller now.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to show you guys today.
Very nice.
Yeah,
well, thanks for joining us for 2 episodes.
Yeah, no problem.
And that's the show for this week. If you have questions, leave your questions below in the show notes, or you can email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. Thanks for watching.
Have a good week.
Thanks.